Welcome back once again. It is the Parish of the Patriots, 113th installment, believe it or not. Time must be flying. Must be because we're having so much fun. Thank you for joining us on the never-ending clown car world that is the West today. Thank you for joining us. If you're new around these parts, we do have a Christian. There is some meaning to the name of the show. We do have a sermon, if you would, later on the show. Be sure to stick around for that. Even if you're a non-believer, I have a lot of non-believers that say, "Hey, enjoy the Christian-specific segment. Gives me some insight." So, you know, be sure and stick around for that. Hopefully, you'll get something out of it. Before that, though, we just kind of have random discussions of whatever comes to mind. And of course, this show is financially supported by you, the listeners, by your voluntary support. And I'm going to be honest, not very damn many of you volunteer. So those of you that do, it is very, you are the elite group. You are like my deacons. That's right. I don't give a shit. You are my deacons because you actually pay your tithes. If you want to be a part of that, you can find that information at the bottom of the description page. We got snail mail. We got Bitcoin. We got a Monero address down there. And, you know, hey, if you've got another cryptocurrency, whatever, drop me an email. I'll get you an address for that. Or if you are, you know, if you got a, I really enjoy the listener supporter mailbag. So, you know, drop me an email. I'll be sure and share it. Unless you don't want me to share it. Then we won't. So, yeah, let's get off into our listener supporter mailbag this week as we head off into our discussion. From Jackie, Grandpa, Little Doe for the show. Appreciate what you do. Hope all is well in Texas. Well, we are in spring now, which is we're done, officially done. The mesquites have started budding out. I saw a scissor tail the other day. It's a bird, by the way. And these are telltale signs. The spring is arriving in Texas. So you know what that means. In like 2 weeks, it'll be hot. It'll be 100 and something degrees. Of course, I don't know. Hell, we already getting up in the 80s. For some people, that would already be considered hot. This is the nice little one of those brief times to where before it gets blistering hot or it's freezing cold in the winter that we get to enjoy these things. But yes, all is doing well. Mr. T, I've been listening to your show since day one, and I say it's only getting better. Well, I hope so. We do strive to get better. Sometimes I'm not sure. Sometimes I think we're stagnant. Sometimes I look back on the shows and I'm thinking, I think the shows are getting shittier. No, I don't. But no, I am. I'm real happy with what we're doing here. And again, I enjoy the back and forth with the listeners. I think that's what makes it part of the show. I mean, I could just not do that and just sit here and just monologue and it would just feel like just talking to myself. So I think it's one of the things that makes the show special. Andy, enjoying the shows as always, Grandpa. Thanks for everything you do. Well, again, I appreciate all of y'all. I again, those of you who do get enough out of it to, you know, go ahead and financially support the show. It does, like I say, it's just not the monetary thing even as much as the morale boost. So, and then we have one more, and we're going to use that to just go ahead and launch off into our discussion. I was going to discuss something completely different, but then as I was going through, because I don't go through the listener supporter mailbag, I really sit down and go through it until like right before the show. Sitting down about to record, and then I go through that. So I actually had something I was going to discuss this week. Maybe I'll push it off to next week, because going through the listener supporter mailbag, I got this one. I thought, well, this is going to turn in. I can tell right now this is going to wind up turning into our whole discussion before we get into the sermon this week. But that's okay, because a good discussion it shall be. And this is from Tony. Grandpa Dan, I always enjoy hearing your perspective on things going on in clown world, so I thought I would share some of my clown world with you. I retired a couple years ago and planned on getting a part-time job. I couldn't find anything that did not include nights and weekends. I found a job that claimed to be Monday through Friday, 8-hour shifts. I decided to take this job, even though it is full-time. I like the job itself, but I'm tired of working with lazy people and incompetent management. The woman that works next to me is about the same age. We found out through our company review of their employees that we're doing almost twice the work of our coworkers. The slowest ones are the young ones in their teens and early 20s. The boss's solution to the problem is younger, slower workers is to move more work down to mine and my coworker's station. Me and the older lady I work with are tired of carrying the group. I've had to slow down my work because if I don't, they just keep sending me someone else's work. I did not like retirement because I'm used to working a lot and I had too much free time on my hands. I like the job itself and I really don't want to quit, but dealing with coworkers is raising my blood pressure to a boil. I worked all my life to have a house paid for, a pension, and savings to be able to slow down in my old age. Problem is, the young people have a house paid for, mama's house, a pension, mama's paying the utilities, and they just work for play money. They just came out of high school, and they are already semi-retired. They expect us older workers to carry them like mommy and daddy have all their lives. Thought this might give you something for your show. Again, I like hearing your perspective on Clown World and would like to hear what you think on this matter. And this is from Tony. And like I said, I got this one. I'm like, well, this is going to just turn into, I can tell right now, this is going to turn into our whole discussion this week. And by the way, I'm Gen X, so because a lot of people think I'm a boomer, but I'm actually an early Gen Xer, for those of you who just might be a little curious. This is a quintessential, you know, because Gen Xers, we're like a bridge, I guess. Maybe I'll be a bridge here between the generations, because like we always hear about the boomers and then everybody skips to the millennials / Gen Zs or whatever. And we Xers are the ones that are just like in the middle, and generally we just kind of don't give a shit. The whole world burns. We don't really even care. It's just like, yeah, the whole world deserves to burn. So we're like the cynical in-betweeners. But we see these, one of the things we see in our society is this generational clash. And so oftentimes, I got to thinking about it. And how often do we ever hear anyone actually like try to like address this gap between the generations? Because everybody just say a boomer. Typical boomerism here, you know. And then on the flip side of that, young lazy people, you just entitled, you know, you all got a participation trophy and you don't get it, and you wind up with everybody just kind of mocking each other, but nobody's actually like sat down and look, you know, explain these differences like maybe to both sides, and maybe people can then like understand why things are the way they are, because we tend to like put our own experiences and like our own background onto others, and then we don't understand why they don't do the things like we did, or they're not doing things like we would do them, and they just don't. And there gets to be this big lack of communication. So I thought, since maybe a slight change of pace, like explain these generational differences a little bit, so maybe people can just understand and kind of like maybe get why things, because this all falls into the bigger picture of our corrupt and failing society. I was on the show Friday. I do every Friday the Daily Nationalist with Sir Longshanks. It's always a good time. If you're not catching that, you really need to catch that. Yes, we're going to plug that show here in the middle of this show because you're missing out. It's for your own good. One of the things I brought up on last Friday's show, though, I was talking, we were discussing a topic. And I pointed out that, you know, we have this message today that everybody should go to college, but not everybody wants to or is geared for college. And college has nothing to do, by the way, with intelligence. I mean, people don't even go to college anymore to learn or certainly. Let me rephrase that. Nobody goes to college now to be taught how to think. People go to college now, they're told, they're indoctrinated, they're told what to think. You can have somebody that's a high school dropout and actually they've got a lot of common sense and they're actually pretty smart. They're just not good at sitting down and reading things on a paper and then putting the correct answers on a test. But they actually have a lot of intelligence. They might be very well read. They might actually understand a lot of things that a college graduate doesn't understand. And back in the day, people that had no inclination really didn't have any business going to college. They could have a chance to go to like get a decent job, like say on an assembly line, an auto manufacturer. You got a job at the car plant, and you had the potential to earn a decent middle class income working at the auto plant. But they shipped all that. Our government tax incentivized, did these trade deals and shipped all those jobs overseas. Nothing got cheaper. Cars damn sure haven't gotten cheaper over the years now that they're all made overseas. The parts are all made overseas. All that happened was Wall Street went up. All that happened was the big corporations upped their profit margins, and now everybody's broke. There's like this no potential for any kind of bettering your life through hard work. But see, that used to not be the case. And this is where some of this generational gap comes in, because if you're like a boomer and you're coming in and you're remembering, you know, like I swear, and let's be honest, because I am getting up in age. Like I said, I'm an early Xer, so I'm getting up in age myself. And it is very easy to romanticize your youth. You know, man, I went to work and I worked my ass off. You screwed off at work sometimes too. We all did. I mean, come on, let's all be honest with ourselves. But the thing is, for the older generation, when you were younger, it was easier to apply yourself to work because, you know, there was always this potential. We had this belief that if we work hard, you could work hard, you could go work, play by the rules, do what you're supposed to do, and you're going to better yourself. You know, if you show the boss that, hey, you know, I'm working hard, and the boss is going to say, hey, this guy, we're going to give him a raise. We're going to move him up. We're going to do, you know, but that doesn't even happen anymore, does it? As the listener, as the letter writer here has pointed out, all that happens if you work hard is your wages stay the same, and they're just going to shove the work onto you of the other people that are just the dead weight. You're just going to get the dead weight work. But it gets worse. It gets worse because what will happen a lot of times is they'll hire people that are incompetent, but they don't want to get rid of them or whatever. And they will actually like promote them to other departments. You know, we wonder why a lot of people wonder why like HR departments, human resource departments of companies get converged by these social justice warriors. Well, how did the social justice warriors get in there? Well, you have these people come to work. They're usually women. They're horrible at their job, but they can't really run them off, or they don't feel like they have enough justification to run them off. So they just try to shuffle them around out of the way, and they wind up shuffling them until they wind up in human resources. And then they hire other social justice warriors. And next thing you know, the whole company has gone to shit. It destroys itself. But I'm kind of getting off topic here. I got to reel this back in. The point is the notion now that you can work hard and play by the rules and better your life is gone. You have a pension. You have a retirement. There are no jobs with a pension and a retirement anymore. There are none. As I pointed out on the Friday show, I said, where people used to could go and say, I always use like the idea of getting a job at GM or something, you know, and they work hard and they can work on the assembly line and then they can retire and have a pension. But those jobs are gone. There are no jobs. So these people that used to would have filled those jobs and had, you know, worked hard and had a meaningful life, they've been pushed off into these shitty service sector jobs by and large. You know, I talked on that show on Friday show about how discouraging it is, because I'll go like, and you see like people car hopping at Sonic. If you're another part of the country, you don't know what Sonic is, but it's like a drive. You drive up there, you push the button, you order your hamburger, and a car hop brings it out. And the car hop was always some, you know, high school girl or so. It's high school kids. And now more and more I go to these places. If you go to these places and jobs that high school kids used to do, you see older people, you grown ass adults are doing these jobs. Because that's all there is. There is no hope. There's no hope for a job that has a pension. That doesn't exist anymore. I mean, it doesn't. It doesn't exist anymore. Like I say, I'm an Xer, and I don't know what happens when I literally cannot do the work I do to survive anymore. I mean, I appreciate the little bit that comes in from the show, but I couldn't survive on it by a long shot. I could if half the people that download the show sent $5 a month, I could live off the show, but nobody does that. I've got like a dozen, maybe at the most two dozen people that regularly send support. So what happens when I can no longer do the work that I do to make ends meet? I don't know. There is no pension. There is no retirement plan. The younger generation, you say mommy and daddy, but so many of them, it's just mommy. There is no dad. We know by the statistics that most of these young people are from divorced homes, and probably a lot of them are just raised by single moms. We have a culture that promotes celebrity status 24/7, and younger people are more adept, or more prone rather to the social messaging, you know, to this message from the culture. And our culture right now gives this message, if you're not some form of celebrity, like, you know, I always make the joke, I'll read some article and it'll say, you know, she was a, you know, she was an Instagram star. I don't even know what the hell that means, but apparently it means something. If you're not some form of celebrity, then your life has no meaning. Well, you take a young person, and their vast majority of people aren't going to be any form of celebrity. So what's the message they're told? Their life doesn't have any meaning. So what, they're supposed to go to some mundane job and really, you know, get after it? But the society is telling them their lives have no meaning. Work ethic? Where's the work ethic in this society? The overall, and I'm not just talking about like the celebrity, this, you know, you're supposed to be some sort of celebrity angle. The overall message in this society is that if you're doing any sort of work, if you're a working man in any way, shape, or form, you're doing any work with your hands, you're a loser. You should be shuffling. If you were really successful, you would be shuffling numbers around on a computer or filing papers in an office somewhere on Wall Street. You know, then you were successful. We have this overall denigration of the working man in this country. One thing that really, honestly, there's a lot of things, obviously. One thing that really, honestly pisses me off about this society is the utter disdain, the contempt that is given to the working man. Let me tell you, working people is what makes this shit show keep rolling. And they're doing away with working, and then it's going to quit rolling. When there's not anybody to fix the stuff that breaks anymore, when there's nobody that can understand how things work so that when they quit working, they can fix them so that we can enjoy the comforts in life. When nobody does that anymore and everybody's just sitting around, I guess, shuffling papers around and numbers on a computer on Wall Street, then I guess we'll just grind to a halt because nobody understands how anything actually works. The working man is held in utter contempt in this society. If you're an Instagram star and flashing your titties around, then you are an important person. If you're the guy that, you know, pulls up with the wrecker and changes some old person's flat on the side of the road, you're just a stupid schlub because you're dirty and you're having to work with your hands. This is the overall message of society. So when you have a younger people, for instance, who are having to do work with their hands for some kind of job, the overall message they're told is that they're a loser. Not because they're not worried, they're a loser because they're working at something where they're getting dirty, where there's something where they're actually doing something with their hands. And this is the overall message from this society. See, the message years ago, when we were younger, Xers and even boomers, when you were young, is if you work hard, what were we told? If you work hard, if you play by the rules, if you apply yourself, you can move up in life and you will better your life. The message young people receive today is if you work hard and apply yourself, you're stupid. You're a loser. Look, this dumb bimbo bitch on Instagram jumps around and her titties bounce and she gets 5 million likes and she's got money. Why the hell should anybody want to work? Only suckers work. Look at these guys. This guy, he's a money manager on Wall Street. He just sits around all day and punches and moves other people's money around and rent seeks. He scrapes off the top. And now he's rich. Only suckers work. This is the message of society. And we wonder why people who are younger are just like, well, I've got this stupid shit job and it doesn't matter how hard I work. That's the message they're told. They're just believing what's told to them. And it's not necessarily wrong. Where's the opportunity to move up? This gap between generations is because we were given completely different messages. The older generation, if you're younger generation, you're so sick of hearing boomers say these same things about, you know, well, how come y'all just lazy? You have to understand, because when they were young, they had a message of hope. All you have to do is work. All you have to do is work hard, play by the rules, apply yourself, and your life will get better. And they saw those results. They saw those results, and they don't understand why they look at you as a younger person, and they think, well, if you would just work hard and apply yourself, you could move forward, and your life would get better. And they don't understand why you're not doing that, because they don't understand that the message you're told is work is for suckers. And the only job you can find is this dead-end job that pays jack shit. You can't go get a house on your own. You're living with mom, not because you love living with mom, but because who can afford $1,500 a month rent? You know, who could afford, I don't know, depending on where, $1,500 be cheap, I guess, in some areas. A lot of places, a little shitty apartment run you over $1,000 a month in rent. Then what? Utilities? Food? You're going to get no dang dead-end job paying enough to pay for those things. Like, I hope they're living with mom because there ain't no choice. What the hell else is there? The angst, The bitterness back and forth between generations is misdirected. It's kind of like this whole thing. If you didn't catch last Friday's show, we really you ought to watch it. Because, or watch it. Don't worry. We're not doing video because I got a faces made for audio only. But we did this. We were going over these news articles where they actually went and they pointed out that, like, during all this pandemic lockdown, all this money is being funneled up and these billionaires are even getting richer. They have more money they could ever spend in their lifetimes. Now they're just, by pure coincidence, getting wealthier while everyone else is getting poorer. But then they turned that around and made it about race. You know, it's just more white people oppressing blacks and non-whites. And it's all a distraction. You see, they want people convinced that the problem is this. They want blacks convinced that the problem is white people doing all the good. And they want white people just convinced that, you know, they want them distracted by all these black protests. You're not supposed to notice that these people, the oligarchs at the top, are just strip mining the economy of the money. It's kind of the same thing with this intergenerational conflict. It's all misdirected. Everybody's anger, everybody's aggravation shouldn't be pointed at these other generations. It should be pointed at this society that is degraded to this point. If we had a society, if we had a government that actually cared about the well-being of their people, if we actually had a nationalist government that cared about how the people were doing, you wouldn't have this conflict because they would still be trying to ensure that people had a way to work up in life. Instead, they're working to be sure that the oligarchs can just strip mine what little is left, and there ain't much. What's little is left of the economy is strip mined out to them. They've already got more money than they can ever spend in their life, their kids can ever spend in their life, but it's never enough. They got to take your penny. They got to strip mine that last dollar out of your pocket that you were going to buy something to drink later today with. They got to get that out of their pocket. They got all the money in the world, but they're going to pull that last dollar out of your pocket. And everybody's talking about this generation. They don't understand. And these people are lazy and these people are entitled. And they don't understand. It's their fault. No, the society has degraded. All of this aggravation, all this conflict between the generations, it needs to be aimed at the society, at those who have created a society like this system that we live under, that means a young person has no hope. People, in all honesty, most people shouldn't be going to college. It's not for most people. College should be reserved. University should be reserved for those who are just really at the very, very top. And everybody else should have the opportunity to go work. And yeah, because work isn't the end of it. You get a job. If you're a young person, look, you get a job. And if you learn to do that job really well, maybe you can, you know, start a business on your own, and then you build your business. And then next thing you know, you've achieved it. You've achieved a better life. We don't have any of that messaging. We're this dead end, no hope, forget it. Unless you're an Instagram star or some shit, or unless you win the lottery. How disgusting is that? And I'll admit, I buy a scratch-off ticket once in a while or whatever. I get so depressed with how poor my life is. And I'm like, man, but how sad of a commentary is that on our society when people's only hope is if I win the lottery, that's your only hope. That's your only hope. Otherwise, it's just, what a sad commentary. And everybody misses that because too busy with this conflict back and forth. It's so easy to keep everybody fighting amongst each other. Meanwhile, they're strip mining the few pennies that are left in the working class and the ever-shrinking middle class to enrich themselves. They told us for years, conservatives told us for years, the economy is not a zero-sum game. Just because somebody's getting richer doesn't mean that you're getting poorer. And that is absolute unmitigated bullshit. They are strip mining the economy out of everybody else's pocket. They're closing down all the small business people who struggled and tried to build a small business. They strip mine that out. Now they're even more filthy rich. They already have more money than they ever needed. I got so... Joe Biden come out the other day and they talked about, I don't know, some bullshit program that's just going to mean they're going to funnel more money to the oligarchs. That's all any of these damn programs ever mean, is they're going to funnel money to the oligarchs. And he's going to raise taxes on the rich. How many times have we heard this horse shit? And then I read this article, there's a Jeff Bezos says he supports higher taxes for the rich. Oh, isn't he so good? I almost went to the extreme in my adult language. That sorry son of a bitch isn't supporting higher taxes because he can volunteer. Look, you can volunteer to pay more taxes. If Jeff Bezos is, he says he supports Joe Biden's plan to raise taxes on rich people like himself, well, that asshole could go ahead and voluntarily write a big check and send it to the government if he feels that way. He supports it because he knows he ain't going to pay. That son of a bitch isn't paying any taxes. We've read the stories. He ain't paying nothing. He's a billionaire and he pays zero. He supports higher taxes for the rich. No, he supports higher taxes, strip mining some more money. The rich is always going to be the few people left, and it's ever shrinking, who built a small business and actually are doing half-ass good for themselves. They're the ones that's going to get taxed. Over and over. See the same game. Over and over. See, this happens. I go off on this thing. Jeff Bezos, and I forget what the hell I was, where the hell was I even going? Where was I? I was on a roll. I get on a roll and I just start chasing it. And then it's time to bring things back on point. And I'm like, well, I don't even remember what the point was. It was just on such a roll. These shows are harder to do. These shows are harder to do than you think they are. People, young people who are young, they should be like, say, somebody who's like 21 years old. They should be able to work and not only provide for themselves, they should be already be getting married and starting their families. No, we should have, if we had a actual functioning society, a young man, 21 years old, should be steadily employed. He should have a future ahead of him and know that if he works hard and applies himself and gets good at what he does, he can move up in the companies in, or maybe even better yet, start his own company because he's smart enough. He's figured out how to do it better than this company does. And instead of just, you know, giving that away to the companies, think, I'm going to hold on to this idea because I'm going to learn this job and I'm going to start doing this. I'm going to go into competition and I'm going to, you know, but he should be able to be, he should be married. He should be like, man, I'm married. My wife's expecting our second child. I'm 25 years old and my wife is expecting our second child. That's how it should be. But we don't have that. These young men, they ain't married. They can't forget married. They can't even afford a shitty one-room apartment. Doesn't matter how hard they work. Families, we can't have that. Heaven forbid. We can't have that. You're right. The listener's right to look at these people that are just like drones, just going through the motion. It's the correct reaction for it to make your blood boil. But that anger actually should be directed at this culture that has been created, this quote-unquote society that has been created, where young people, they will have a light in their eyes for the future because they don't see any future. They don't see a way out. Where's the path forward? Where's the, I'm going to work hard and retire with a pension? There's none of that. Where's the, I'm going to work hard and my life will get better. I'm 25. I'm a young person. I'm 25 years old. I can't even afford to take a girlfriend out on a date because that bitch is going to want me to take her to Olive Garden or some shit. I can't afford Olive Garden. That bitch would be doing good if I could take her to Jacques. That would be Jacques in the box. But this entitled bitch is expecting me to take her to Olive Garden. I ain't got enough money for no damn Olive Garden. Can't afford none of that. Much less where they should be in the stage of their life. And something deep down inside is telling them they should be at the stage in their life where they're 25 years old. They're married, been married for several years, and their wife's expecting their second child and they're looking forward to it. And it's going to be a grand occasion. And we don't have any of that. We don't have any of that. Where's people's hope? Where's people's hope? In fact, they're told if they're white, they're told that all the problems in society are their fault. It's their white privilege. If they, in the back of their mind, imagine being a young white man trying to get started in life, and yet you're getting this constant message that you have all of this privilege, and you're like, there must be something wrong with me because I've got all this privilege, and yet my life is shit. I'm living at my mom's house. I can't even afford a one bedroom apartment. It doesn't matter how hard I try to work. I can't. All of this is a sign of this failing, crumbling society. this intergenerational, there's this gap here. And it's weird because this society, see, most empires, they kind of collapse a little more slow motion than what we're getting out of the U.S. empire. And it degrades over time. The U.S. empire has dropped off of this cliff, this clown world cliff. So you actually, because under normal, like, societal degradation in a normal like cycle where society, you know, decays and falls apart, this would stretch out at a long enough point where like the generations that saw things better would already be died off. You know, it would be a gradual thing, but we've got this whole, everybody just dropped off this cliff. So you have the generation before that saw things really good and they're still around and they're still talking about how things are good. And if you just do this and that and the other, it'll, why aren't you doing those things? And while also you have these young adults who don't see that they're in the clown car over the cliff and there's no hope for the future. And you have this disconnect and you wind up with this generational gap here. And of course, those that are responsible for this just love to exploit that gap. Just more friction. Keep everybody at each other and bitter at one another. Young people can be bitter at the old people because they had everything. They got everything. They what do you mean a retirement? Bullshit retirement. I ain't got no retirement. I'm never going to have a retirement. And the older people, look at these young people. They're just lazy. They just don't want to work. And everybody's kind of, meanwhile, strip mine the economy for some more money. Let's promote a society that says, I don't know, an Instagram model, whatever the hell that even is. Again, I don't even know what the hell that is. That's somebody of importance, though. And somehow they seem to have money. How many of these Hollywood, even bigger name celebrities, what the hell do they actually do? I don't know, but apparently it's something important because they're rich. The rest of you poor schlubs, you're losers. Because you're working for a living. Only a loser works for a living. That's the message created in this society. And we wonder why people have an attitude of a loser when that's what they're told they are over and over and over again. I don't know why I remember this, but there was a saying in the old Soviet Union, and they said, you know, they would say, we pretend to work and they pretend to pay us. It's like that. We're all just going through the motions. We don't even have a functioning society anymore. At this point, we're all just going through the motions and nobody knows where the hell this all ends. Everything is upside down. I'm old enough. I remember when Russia was the core of the Soviet Union, the evil empire. And now they're like the voice of sanity on the world stage. The U.S. is the evil empire. You know, evil. They're trying to work everybody up with this narrative of evil Russia, evil China. I'm sitting here considering whether I should try to learn Mandarin in case I have to seek political asylum someday in China. Or should I learn Russian? Maybe seek political asylum someday in Russia. I don't know. I hate cold weather, though. I got to find somewhere with a warm climate. This is the world we live in. This is the old paradigm that the older generations, the boomers and even Xers such as myself had when we were younger. That doesn't exist anymore. So you can't apply that to the younger generations because they're not operating under that. We can't apply I remember like when I was fresh out of high school, you know, and I mean, yeah, you know, I didn't really have a direction in life, but we all had, you know, most of us maybe didn't when we were first out of high school back in the day, back in ancient history. But we did have this belief that at some point in time we'd find something to fall into. We'd find something that we liked doing. And if we worked hard at it and applied it, you know, things were going to get better. With this overall view that things were going to get better. But who the hell thinks things are going to get better? Any of you, regardless of generation, do you think things are going to get better? If you don't think things are going to get better as a society as a whole, if you don't think the world around you is going to get better, then what are you working for? See, one of the reasons that older generations were able to work forward in life is you always had that belief driving, that belief behind everything you did, the going to work every day and all of that, no matter what kind of bumps you hit in the road. You had this overall belief that as a society, as a nation, that things were going to get better. But let's be honest with ourselves. Regardless of how old, whether you're a younger person, older person, whatever the case may be, do any of you look around at this society, any of you look across the West, the nation, the United States of America today, do any of you think that things are going to get better? Do any of you think that, well, if we just get Biden out of there and get a Republican and then things will, does anybody even believe that? Do any of you believe that things are going to get better regardless of if you work hard, don't work hard, goof off, screw off, do as little as you can, do as much as you can, work yourself to death, don't work at all? Do any of you think that this, that things are going, as a society, as a nation, that things are going to get better? Because I don't. I mean, I go to work. I go to work sometimes every day for weeks on end because I have to. But I don't go with the attitude that if I just keep at it, the world around me is going to get better. Because you see, if you have the view that society as a whole, that the nation as a whole is going to get better, then that motivates you because you're contributing to that. And if the whole world, if the whole nation around you gets better, then that, by extension, your life is going to get better. It will affect you. It'll raise you up. Your life will raise up with society as a whole. But all we see is a shit show. All we see is clown world. All we see is the whole thing falling apart. And so it's the opposite effect, where if you believe society as a whole was going to get better, so if you keep working hard, you're going to get pulled up by that. Then, but if you look around, the opposite of that is if you look around and society as a whole is falling apart, we're facing complete societal collapse, and we are. And it doesn't matter what you do, you're going to get pulled down. The opposite also applies here. Do you understand what I'm saying? The opposite applies. We're all going to get sucked right back down, right down into the shithole. No matter how hard you struggle, how hard you work, what you do, doesn't matter. We're all being sucked down into the societal collapse, and we're all just waiting. I always say, we're already in the clown car. We've already gone over the cliff. We're all over the cliff. I think more and more people understand that now. We're all just waiting to see who climbs out of the wreckage and when, once we hit the bottom. And nobody knows. Imagine, as an individual person, imagine like being told you have a terminal disease. Being told you have a terminal disease and you have 3 months left to live. Would you sit around and think, man, next year I'm going to take that dream vacation to Hawaii? No, you wouldn't do that. You would just be like, well, what's the point of that? I wanted to take a dream vacation to Hawaii, and I never got to do that. I'm never going to get to do that because I have 3 months to live. That's how we as a people are in this society. We're not going to take that dream trip to Hawaii. We have 3 months to live. We're not going to build a better life and start a family and retire with a pension because this whole society is falling apart. We're just waiting for somebody to finally pull the plug and pronounce it dead. That's, I'm bringing myself down, but it's the truth. This is the reality. We have to face reality. We have to face the truth. And everybody, I think more and more people really, they can't articulate it. They get frustrated and they look at people that had it better, that are older, or they look at people who are younger that just seem like they're just not trying. But we miss the overall point that on some level, we might not be able to articulate it. But I think really a whole lot of people get it. They get that feeling deep down inside that this isn't going to get better. The patient is on life support. Well, just... It's just an animated body or something. We're just waiting for it to finally pass on, and nobody knows what comes after that. We don't. The odds of complete societal collapse in this country are 100% in my mind. I'm absolutely 100%. That's what we're facing. I don't see anything turning it around. Do any of you see a way out where we don't face a complete collapse of this society? We are already in the midst of it. Do you see anything on the horizon? Well, if this just happens, it's going to turn it all around. Nobody does. So how do you really have any kind of real hope for the future? How do you get really motivated for the future? Because we're waiting for this whole societal collapse thing. This society has failed the people. It has failed the young people. It's failed the working class people. It's failing the older people. It's failing everybody except for the oligarchs because they're globalists. They can leave. They can go anywhere in the world. They've got a house down in the Bahamas. They bought their own island. They're not worried about any of this. They just strip mine what's left of the economy, and they can leave if it all burns down. But the rest of us can't leave. The rest of us are stuck here. That's the state of the world we're in. We get caught up, and we direct our this resentment towards one another. And we see it. They love it. The oligarchs love that. Keep everybody resentful. Promote the anti-white race-hating narrative some more. Tell all of these blacks, tell all of these non-whites that the reason their lives sucks because these white people, it's these white people. They have all that white guy walking down the street, going to his shitty job somewhere. He has privilege. That's the reason your life sucks. Strip mine the economy. Meanwhile, we're over here strip mining the economy. Don't look at us. They keep everybody redirected. Younger people are just lazy. Things would be better if they weren't so lazy. These boomers are just entitled. If the boomers didn't have all the money, everybody else would have all the money. Don't look at Jeff Bezos. Don't look at Zuckerberg. Don't look at all of these corporate oligarchs. Don't look at the big banks. Don't look at Goldman Sachs. Don't look at all the big banks. Don't do it. Don't look at Lehman Brothers. They're not the ones with all the money. It's that white guy carrying that thermos to go to some shitty job somewhere with no future. He's the reason you're oppressed. We got to keep everybody fighting amongst each other while we strip mine what's left of the economy. Got to wrap up on that note. Got to get into the Christian specific message. I can already tell we're going to go long this week. I know my psychic ability is telling me we're going to go long this week. So anyway, we're going to wrap up on that note. Get into our sermon this week. Even if you're not a believer, you're going to want to stick around for this week's sermon. Coming out of this very upbeat discussion we've had, you're going to definitely want to stick around, because we will, in our Christian-specific segment, or in our sermon this week, we're actually going to get into, why bother? We're actually going to get in where that falls in with your Christian faith, so you're not going to want to miss that. So you know what to do. We're going to wrap up the regular portion of the show. Again, thank you to like the half of 1% that bother supporting the show. I really appreciate it. May God bless you. Y'all, you know what to do. Get in there, fill those pews. It's time for this week's sermon here at the Parish of the Patriots. So yeah, as you get settled in this week, settle into the pews this week, let's go ahead and jump right in and get our Bible verses read this week, and then we'll get into our Christian-specific discussion this week. We're going to start off with Ecclesiastes 4. Let's do verses 1 through around 3. So I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun, and behold, the tears of such as were oppressed, and they had no comforter, and on the side of their oppressors there was power, but they had no comforter. Wherefore I praise the dead, which are already dead, more than the living, which are yet alive. Yea, better is he than both they which have not yet been, who hath not seen the evil work that is done under the sun. And then let's jump over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I think we'll do verses 7 through roughly 11. The Apostle Paul says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I am become a fool in glorifying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest of apostles, though I be nothing." And finally, from the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, verse 1, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" Now, we've looked at these three different brief verses, and they all seem kind of unrelated, but you kind of get this overriding theme of basically looking around and coming away with, like, you know, what the hell's going on? But I thought we'd talk a little bit this week about understanding. You know, we're always wanting to know God's plan. And this idea came from an email exchange this past week. I had something completely different jotted around, which now that I look at it was kind of redundant from some of the other messages. So maybe that was a good thing. We always want to know, you know, we always want to do as Christian believers, we want to do the best job we can for the Lord. You know, we always had this vision that we want to strive to be the best. We look at Paul's basically lamentation over this thorn in his side as he, this thorn in his flesh as he described it. And in his mind, if this was just gone, he could do better for the Lord. He wants to do better for the Lord. Why am I struggling with this thing? I could do better. I could understand you. I could do your plan better, God, if I wasn't struggling with this. And the Lord says, no, that very thing that you struggle with is a part of the plan. We get this idea that if we just knew what God wants us to do, if we just understand, if he would just tell us, wouldn't that make things simpler? If he would just have God, you know, as Christian believers, we want to do God's work. We want to understand God's plan and we want to fulfill it. We want to be obedient. We want to do the things God has set out for us. What's God's plan? What's his grand design plan for my life? And we want to know. And if God would just tell us, it doesn't make any sense, does it? If God would just tell us, look, if you went to bed tonight, and you're like, man, I don't know what I'm a Christian believer. I believe in the Lord. I don't know. And you went to bed tonight. You went to sleep. And while you were sleeping, suddenly you had a vision and a voice of the Lord spoke to you and said, you know, go forth and do this, A, B, C. You know, walk down the block, two blocks, make a right. You're going to come across a man standing on the street corner. Tell that man that, I mean, you could do that step by step by step. And then, poof, yow, you did the work of the Lord. But what would you have learned from it? There's a, you know, we have this idea that if we just knew God, why is God being so circumspect? Why is he being so vague? Why is it that the Lord doesn't just simply tell us what to do? It's kind of like the argument the non-believer will make is if there's a God, then why does evil exist in the world? Why do these horrible things happen to people that shouldn't happen? If you have this loving God, this creator of all things, why is there evil in the world? Now, you have to set aside, this is from a non-believer, and of course, they're not going to have an understanding of what, you know, the history, why things are like they are, or the, you know, human nature, the deeper things that you as a Christian believer, who've hopefully been walking in the faith for some time, you know, at least have a somewhat greater understanding of. But this is often an argument you hear. Well, why is there? Why would God allow there to be evil in this world? This kind of falls in line with that. If God has a plan for us, if God wants us to do certain things, why doesn't he just tell us, look, this is what you need to do? Then you could just do it. You wouldn't be like playing this guessing game. Is this the right choice? Is this the right choice? I don't understand. And it all comes down to understanding our role here in this life. There's a saying in the motorcycle world, if those of you who ride, you know, it's not the destination, it's the journey. You know, you get on your motorcycle and you're like, you know, we're going to go, I don't know, we're going to ride two states over and camp over the weekend and then, you know, hang out and then come back. But the idea, the whole point of the ride isn't that you're going to get on your bike and you load your gear up and you're going to ride there and then you camp and then you're going to hang out with some people and then you're going to come back. The point isn't even where you're going and what you're doing. It's the ride. It's the journey. That's because you enjoy the ride on the motorcycle. That's kind of how this life is. You see, the things that we're supposed to do in this life, at the end, that's really secondary, if that makes any sense to you. The things that are laid out that we are supposed to do, because we can't really do anything for God, can we? This temporal realm where time exists that we're stuck in, this little bubble, it's a very small bubble that we live in this universe. The things we do here don't matter, because at some point in time, God's going to roll up the whole experiment and do away with it. So anything you accomplish in this life is temporary and matters not. Nobody, at the end, when the whole thing is done, it doesn't make a shit. So what's the point of it? Because God doesn't have things that are pointless. There is a point. You see, the things that we do are just kind of excuse. It's not that they're the destination. It's the point is the journey to get to there. Imagine if you went to school and on your first day of school, say you, I don't know, you enrolled in college. Say you enrolled in college and you know, your first day of college and you go to college and they said, well, you're going to take a test today. You'd be like, okay, well, I'm just, this is my first day. I'm not going to be able to pass the test. You haven't taught me anything. They said, don't worry. Here's your test. And here's this other piece of paper. And here are all the answers for the test. So you, so all you have to do is sit down here and take the test and look over on the answer sheet and just fill in the answer. Everybody's going to get a perfect grade. There, it's over. And then you can tell everybody you graduated college. You graduated this class. You passed this class in college with perfect grades. You graduated with perfect grades. Well, you took the final exam on the first day. You were so smart. You took the final exam on the first day and got all the answers correct. Congratulations. But you didn't learn anything, did you? You didn't learn anything. I mean, the whole point, you went to college, you wanted to learn something. Although I would argue that in colleges today, that's pretty much not the point anymore. But nonetheless, we won't take that exit. We're going to stay between, we're going to stay in the lanes and keep moving. The point is, you wouldn't have learned anything. You got perfect grades on the exam because someone gave you all the answers. You see, with the Lord, the answers, the test grade at the end kind of doesn't even matter. You're trying to learn. You're trying to learn between here and there. You're trying to learn to get to the answers. The answers, whatever you accomplish in this life, is just going to be temporary, where it's good, bad, whether you do really well, whether you do kind of mediocre, which is what most of us wind up doing, kind of mediocre, or whether you just kind of just fall completely away and do shitty. In the end, nobody's going to remember any of that. When we're struggling with something, when we're worried about something, we're praying every day, because, you know, that's the only time we pray every day, right? So it's the only time we go look in the Bible. It's the only time we seek the Lord. The only time we genuinely pray is when we got some problems. We want God to fix the problem for us. So we pray every day then. It's kind of like it says in the Bible, you know, that wisdom is found in the house of mourning, you know, and folly where there's a big party going on. You know, there's wisdom in the house of mourning, because what? When there's a funeral, then everybody is somber and considering the fact that everything in this world is temporary. You go to a funeral, it's depressing, not just because, you know, oh, well, you know, Joe passed away, or you know, you could go to a funeral of somebody you have no idea who it is, and it's a somber occasion for you. Why? Because it's always a reminder that at some point in time, it's your turn in the box, right? That's why there's wisdom in the house of sorrow, because it gives you perspective again. You remember, hey, all of this is temporary. None of it is going to be very lasting, and everybody gets a turn in the box. The point being that whatever you accomplish in this life, it's all going to fall away. And in the end, in the big scheme of things, in a way, it doesn't even matter. And we get so hung up. We pray and pray when we have problems. We don't bother seeking the Lord and praying any other time. But when we have problems, then all of a sudden we're looking for the Lord. Why? Well, because we want God to give us an answer. God, tell me what I should do. What am I supposed to do? Give me the answers. And then we get discouraged when, more often than not, he really doesn't give us the answers. We usually come to an answer. We assume because we didn't hear a voice from heaven that he didn't give us an answer. But we'll come to an answer. And as we pray and seek him, we will eventually come to some sort of answer. I mean, if you have a dilemma in your life, at some point in time, you got to choose which way to go. You can agonize over it, and you can pray on it, and you can beseech the Lord to show you the light, to show you the way. But I'm going to go ahead and go out on a limb here and bet that you're not going to get a voice from heaven that says, make the left turn here and take this road. So you do the best you can, and it can get discouraging. It can be a little blackpilling for your faith, because you want God to give you the answers. But here's the thing. In the end, it doesn't really matter. It's all temporary. It's the journey. The point is what you learn. The whole point of this life, the wrap-up summary of this life, is to grow spiritually, to understand the Lord more so that you're prepared for the eternal life to come, which everybody is going at some point in time. Your turn in this temporary realm, this bubble we're in, comes to an end. So you want to be as mature as you can. You want to have learned as much as you can. God doesn't need you to do anything. I mean, really, he doesn't like literally need you to accomplish this for him. He can accomplish whatever he wants to. I mean, he could destroy this entire universe in an instant. I mean, he doesn't need you to do something also important for him right here. But he still has work for you to do. Yes, but I mean, you are not like doing this grand thing for God. I mean, this stuff doesn't matter beyond the context of it's about what you were learning. This is where faith comes in. And this is, we all talk about having faith. We all talk about having faith, and it's hard to have faith. And if God would just show me, then I would have faith. But that's actually the opposite. The whole point of the faith is you've got to move forward. And God isn't just going to, how much faith would it take if God said, okay, tomorrow when you get up, you know, go down here to this place and talk to this guy. And I don't know, you're going to get the job you're seeking. Well, it wouldn't take any faith. God just gave you some instructions. It goes back to the thing like taking a test and someone hands you the answer sheet. You didn't learn anything. Faith comes from the struggle. Faith comes from understanding. I always remind everybody that faith has nothing to do with emotionalism. Whether you're feeling good in your faith because you feel spiritually uplifted inside, you're feeling good inside, and it's like, ooh, thank you, Jesus, I got faith. Or are you feeling down inside and tormented inside and you're just like, I don't even understand what the hell I'm doing. Nobody, what's the point of it? But then you beat yourself up. My faith is weak. Faith has absolutely nothing to do with your emotional state. In fact, it's the exact opposite. This is one of those points I harp on a lot because you have to understand that, because otherwise you're chasing a ghost around. You're chasing faith because you're chasing emotions. I don't feel this way, so my faith must be bad. My faith must be weak. Faith has absolutely nothing to do with your emotions. It's what you do in spite of your emotions. The struggle, it's just discouraging because we hate struggle. I do. I ain't going to sit here and say, I love the struggle. I want life on easy setting. I'm tired of this struggling bullshit. I want life on the easy setting. And we get to looking around and it's like, well, how come? Look at this guy. Look at this guy here. He's got this nice place. He looks like he's got life on the easy setting. And this guy looks like a complete asshole. And he's got life on the easy setting. And I'm over here, not to speak too much of myself. We all know what we're talking about here, right? Why is it that I'm struggling and this guy over here, although he's struggling too, you just don't know that because everybody's got their public face on. But you're sitting there going, this guy looks like an asshole, and yet it looks to me like he's got the world by the short ones. And here I am struggling. I don't like the struggling. I don't like the struggling. I want life on the easy setting. What would you learn? If you went and said, we talked earlier about if you went to college, you enrolled in college. But instead of college, you said, I don't want to learn anything new. I'm going to go enroll in kindergarten. I'm going to go enroll in first grade. And then I got life on the easy setting. If you went as an adult and you went to first grade, you sat down with all the first graders in there and you're just barely cramming your ass in that desk. But you're taking every test. I'm done. Hey. Smell that, little Susie. Look at this here. You still working? You still ain't figured out what 2 + 2 is, have you? It's life on the easy setting, but you're not learning anything. At the end of the day, when you struggle in a test, you're in school. You're going to stick with the school analogy here. When you're in school and this test, you're staring at the test. It's so important to you. You studied for this test. You're not in first grade. If you went and re-enrolled in first grade and you're studying for the test, I don't know what the hell to tell you. But you've taken a test, you studied hard for this test, and when they hand that to you, it's like your opponent has stepped into the ring. This is the test. This is the test. I've studied for this. I'm ready. And you hammer it out, and you're probably not going to get a perfect grade on it. Hopefully, you get a passing grade. Hopefully, if you get a failing grade, then you're discouraged. Now you got to take supplementary classes, or you got to do this, you got to do that. If you got a passing grade, well, good. Well, it's a benchmark. I should have done better. I studied harder. I should have gotten more return from my work. Oh, I got a really good grade. Yay, me. Let's go have a few beers and celebrate. But you know what? Regardless of how you scored on the test, at the end of the day, the teacher shreds that bastard. No teacher takes a test that you took that was so important to you and frames it on the wall. There's Joe's test. Look at how Joe did. Well, he scored a medium grade. Well, we're going to save this for all posterity. No one gives a shit. It was a big deal to you at the time. You studied. You spent weeks studying for the test. It was so important to you. And now you took the test and you got a mediocre grade. Whatever, you passed. You got good grades. You failed. It doesn't even matter. It goes in the shredder. The teacher throws it away. It doesn't even matter to the teacher. Whole point was just for you to do the studying. The test wasn't even the point. The point was all that time you spent studying so you would learn the damn material. That's how life is. The whole point here isn't, the whole goal here isn't what we overcome necessarily, or what we do or what we don't do, which direction we go, which road we take, whether we do this, whether we don't do this. None of that shit really even matters. At the end of the day, God throws it in the waste bin. The point is the studying. The point is learning the material. The point is to increase our faith. You can't expect God to increase your faith. How many of y'all, we all at some point, increase my faith, Lord. And what do we think in the back of my mind? Our faith would be increased if God would just give me the answers. But that's actually the opposite of reality. Your faith is increased when you just go ahead and push through, when you just struggle through it, when you make the best decisions you can, when you seek them. I'm not saying there's no point in prayer. There's no point in asking God to guide you. Actually is the studying. That's part of it. At the end of the day, you've got to go the best. You've got to choose a direction. I always think of being at a road, at a crossroads, you know, with a T, a Y, the road Y's off. You got to go left. You got to go right. I mean, at some point in time, you're going to have to pick a direction. You can sit there and ponder it. You can discuss it. You can think about it. You can pray on it. But at some point in time, you're going to have to take that step. You're going to have to choose a direction and you're going to have to do it. And then you just got to have faith. I mean, you make the decisions you can make. And after that, all the rest of that's in God's hands. That's the it's in God's hands part. What other people do is in God's hands. That's the Lord. You make the best decisions you can. You fill out your role, your responsibility. But the rest of that stuff you have no control over, that's the thing. Those are the things that are in God's hands. This is how our faith is tempered. This is how we grow in our faith, is learning to do the best we can, to make the best decisions we can, pray, hope that, you know, maybe God will give you some spiritual enlightenment. And at the end of the day, you'll make the best decision you can. But the things you have no control over, you've got to let those go. You've got to put that in God's hands. That is how your faith grows. It doesn't matter how you feel anxious about your emotions. Remember, when it comes to faith, your emotions are absolutely irrelevant. They have nothing to do with faith. Faith is moving forward and trusting God that these things are in his hands. It doesn't mean you might not be worried about these things you have no control over. It doesn't mean you might not be concerned about the things you have no control over. You might be angry about the things you have no control. You might be frustrated about these things. Doesn't mean any of those things. It's just acknowledging that's in God's hands. I can't do anything about it. I can't do anything about those things. It's in God's hands. Understand, all of this is the point. All of this is the studying is the point, not the test. The grade doesn't even really matter in the end. It's these things you worry about. I look back on my life. And there's so many things, you know. I mean, I always say, you tell somebody, say, hey, you know, 2 years ago, a year ago, even at this time, this date, you were probably worked up over something, whether it's something at your job, something going on in your personal life, whatever the case, you probably all worked up and there was something you were just worried about or concerned about or upset about or whatever the case. And 9 times out of 10, if I said, well, what was that thing last year, 2 years ago that was so important to you, you couldn't say. Because now it doesn't even matter. It was a big deal at the time, but now who knows? You've moved on. You've moved on to something else that's really important, that you're really upset about, that you're really anxious about, that you're really concerned about. As soon as it was over, you moved on to the next thing. The point being, look, don't get so wrapped up. Don't get discouraged. Understand that this struggle, the things you're starting, this is your growing experience. This is you studying. These things you're so worried about and you're praying about and this and that, The teacher's not going to hand you the answer sheet because you wouldn't learn anything. This is you studying whatever it is you're struggling with personal issues, financial issues. This is the study. I'm so buried in debt, Lord. How am I going to get out of this debt? When you're dead, you ain't going to owe these people nothing. This is the studying. You're learning the lessons. You're gaining maturity. You're gaining faith. Believe it, it might not feel like it, but you're increasing your faith. This is how you increase your faith. Ultimately, you make the decisions you make. You make the best decisions you can, and then the rest is in God's hands. You grow in your faith. This way, these struggles are the reason. It's not the destination. It's the ride. It's how you get from here to there. It's what you learn on the way. It's what you see along the way. Then you gain a greater understanding. So, you know, as you go through this life, you know, don't get so caught up in this stuff to where you get sucked in. I mean, you have to go through, you have to struggle with it. You can't just, nobody goes through life on the easy setting. But you go through these things, don't stare at whatever the problem is right now to the point that you just keep swirling on. You get sucked in like a black hole. You know, it just becomes like a whirlpool that just pulls you in. You get so focused on whatever it is you're dealing with, and problems work like that. When you have a big problem you're trying to overcome in your life, and you just get so focused on it, you don't focus on anything else, and it just keeps pulling you in deeper and deeper, and it gets bigger and bigger in your mind. You lose the perspective that whatever this big thing is you're dealing with right now, it's temporary. It's going to end one way or the other. It's like an airplane. People get scared of flying. They get in an airplane, they're scared to fly. They're like, yeah, are we going to land? No, it's 100% guaranteed you're going to land. Now, whether you land and walk away is the real question, but that plane is coming back to Earth one way or the other. Whatever it is you're struggling with, it's going to end. I mean, when you're dead, it'll definitely be over then, but more than likely, don't worry, more than likely it'll end before that. But if you get so focused on these, it just sucks you in. Understand, keep your perspective. But again, remember, the whole point is what you're going through. The point of the exercise, the point of your faith is the studying. It is what you're going through. You may not seem like it, but you are learning something. You are growing spiritually one way or the other, lest you abandon your faith, and then you failed being tempered. You failed being sifted. God is always separating. Who truly seeks him, who truly seeks his truth, and who's just giving lip service, who really wants to know him more, and who just really is joining a social club. And there's always going to be this sifting. And as long as you don't give up, you pass, basically. As long as you don't give up, as long as you keep moving forward, you're still passing being sifted. As long as you don't abandon, you say, well, I'm done. God must not exist. This is too hard. I'm done. I'm out of here. I'm just going to go do whatever the hell. Well, then, I mean, you know, okay, well, we know now. You mean, because if you fail in this little temporary bubble that we live in, then at some point in time, if you'd entered eternity and were given a position in eternity that you absolutely, obviously weren't going to be able to handle because you couldn't handle this little temporary time on earth, then you would fail spectacularly in eternity. So you didn't pass the interview. You didn't pass that. You got booted out, got sifted out so that you wouldn't wind up in a position you can't handle in the next realm. So it may not seem like it, but you are learning something from this. Keep that perspective, and hopefully that will actually help increase your faith. We need to go ahead and wrap up the show on that note. Hopefully you got something out of this week's sermon. I hope. Do appreciate y'all joining us this week. Thank you once again to those who do pay your tithes. An elite group you are, and it is very much appreciated. Once again, if you want to be a part of that, you can find the information at the bottom of the description page for the show. So we're going to go ahead and back on out of here. Thank you for joining us this week. Be sure and join us next week right here for the Parish of the Patriots.